Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society.
Thanks for tuning in again, everyone, to Disruptive Adventism. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that most Adventists know about, and this is Pathfinders. So we're going to be talking about a little bit of Pathfinders and how it works today and how we can improve it in the future. So we have a guest with us, and his name is Eric Jean-Baptiste. So he's joining us. So how's it going, Eric?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for coming here and for being able to record this very important podcast. So before we get too deep into the topic, though, let's talk a little bit about you. Where are you from? What are you doing? And how are you doing all of these things? How are you related or involved with Pathfinders?
All right. Yeah. So I was an area coordinator for Southern New England Conference for about 7 years. I was in charge of drilling and marching, and had to move to Berrien Springs to continue with my education. And now I'm an area coordinator for the Lake Region Conference.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. How is that? What are some of your responsibilities? Maybe someone that's listening and doesn't know what an area coordinator is. Can you explain a little bit?
Area coordinators are basically the go-between the conference youth director and club directors. They're the volunteers that assist club directors in how to form a club, how a club should run properly, how to keep the children safe, and keep up to date with regulations, state laws, and these kinds of things. We're also the ones that inspect the club at camporees and basically run those events.
Okay, cool. Well, some listeners may be also wondering, what is Pathfinders exactly? So if you want to give a short definition, and where did it start?
Yeah, it started right here in United States in the beginning of Adventism. And it was basically a training ground for young people to be prepared in their personal life, spiritual life, and vocational life, just training them in camping, basically like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but with an emphasis on the gospel.
Okay. Now, when you say an emphasis on the gospel, what does that entail?
Yeah, it entails teaching the Pathfinder about Jesus, who he is, the scriptures, learning the fundamental beliefs, basically making them leaders, but also Christians and having a personal relationship with Christ.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good thing. Now, as we start talking, and like you said, Pathfinders is something that started. Actually, the first name was Missionary Volunteers. Yes, that's the same, right?
Yeah.
So Missionary Volunteers, you know, that kind of like transformed into Adventist Youth. Then it went into, you know, a more specified program with Pathfinders. So it was all under that kind of division of the church, right?
Yeah.
Now, we are in a very different landscape today than we are when Pathfinders first started. If we remember, you know, our kind of dates, you know, the United States was a more militant or military country, military base. There was more respect towards that. Mm-hmm. So Pathfinder thrived for most of its life, for most of its lifetime in Adventism, because there was this ethic in the United States and also other countries to kind of prepare citizens as, well, you know, good members of society, but, you know, with that kind of military style, like, you know, very organized, very orderly.
Yeah.
But you have interacted a little more with Pathfinders in today's culture. So maybe my question to you is, do you think that Pathfinders is still effective in what they do?
I think it is very effective. It's not as militant as, say, it would be for the baby boomer generation growing from many parents who were in the military. But it's evolved, and it's evolved to be very effective in today's landscape. For instance, you have Adventure Ministry that deals with children younger than Pathfinder age, and there's TLT, which is basically a go-between between Master Guide and Pathfinders. So,
okay, so let's kind of explain a little bit more about like what's Adventure, what's TLT, what's Master Guide. I mean, we kind of talk about Pathfinders, but there are other subdivisions within that general idea, right?
Yeah. So adventures are, I would say, 3 years old till 10. And there's little subdivisions in adventures. There's Little Lamb, Eager Beavers. And after adventure, you become Pathfinder. And that's usually at around age 10. And around 16 or the end of high school, that's when you're starting to become a Master Guy.
Okay. So it's kind of like a training program that we do in the Adventist Church as a whole. And we start them from very little to, you know, now you said that it was effective, right? Let me push back a little bit here into this. So when you say effective, do you think that it's effective insofar that it teaches young people how to survive in the world, or is it more on the doctrinal side?
It is getting a little more in the doctrinal side. You could see that kids aren't really into the camping as much. And clubs aren't really focused on the camping. It's more on the curriculum and the get invested to certain levels, friend, companion, explorer. That's where the emphasis is. Camping is still a part of it. But I still think it's very effective.
For me, as I see the landscape of Pathfinders, I think that it can be effective. I think that we're not doing enough, you know, for it to be effective. I think that we're sometimes emphasizing a lot of the ideas from, you know, bring them on Sunday. We're going to it's kind of like daycare to a certain degree. We're going to teach them stuff from the Bible. But it seems to me that there is a missing component sometimes in Pathfinder clubs. That is that, you know, there is nothing that breaches or that teaches real experience. Sometimes, not all clubs, you know, maybe there's some very cool clubs out there. Maybe you have seen them, and, you know, maybe we can go a little bit into that as you know, we start moving a little bit deeper into the idea of Pathfinders and how they interact. But I think something that's very lacking is just teaching kids, you know, in the Adventist church, to be just regular citizens and to interact with the world. I think that for me, sometimes I see Pathfinders as a sheltering kind of idea that we have created in the church. Maybe you disagree?
That can definitely happen, especially when you have a culture in the church that doesn't see the effectiveness of Pathfinder. And that's why I'm glad we're talking about it, because that excitement that I have and the belief that it is effective that I portray in Pathfinders, I see the potential that if it's done correctly, how it can change a young person's life. And if parents and the church do treat it like a babysitting service, then it doesn't become effective. But if everybody's working and making intentional relationships within the Pathfinder ministry, then it becomes extremely effective.
Okay. Now, how would you recommend churches, you know, leaders that are listening right now to do that? Because I think that there is a system, you know, that we have created, the Pathfinder's, you know, friend and companion, you know, and all of that. It's very embedded in our, you know, lifestyle as, you know, as Christians, especially as Adventists, right? It's an Adventist thing, a part of the youth culture of Adventism. But what do youth leaders need to do in order to engage these pathfinders and make them, you know, feel this necessity or make it more effective?
What I would say is leaders need to look at Pathfinder Ministry as a mentorship program. It is something that allows the church to have intentional relationships with young people so that a young person can come into the church and see that there's someone and some people that care about their development other than their parents. And that's what the gospel is about. It's showing these young people that somebody cares about them, wants them to succeed, not only in their personal relationship with Christ, but in everything in their life, so that they can be passed the keys and do it again to the next generation.
Okay, so I hear that there's this kind of like mentorship program, and I would agree with that. I think that that's something that is ideal, you know, for Pathfinders. And definitely I would love to see more of that in Pathfinders, because sometimes I feel like we just do programs, you know, it's a program-based event. You know, Pathfinders come, this is a program, this is how you go through it. This is, you get your pins, you get your nice things. It's a culture of its own, and it's great. Like, I mean, I remember being in Pathfinders, and I will say, you know, that Pathfinders is one of the reasons why I stayed in the church, because, well, at least in my local church where I grew up, Pathfinders was about finding community, you know, and it wasn't just that we did the classes, sure, but that was not the primary thing. I think the community aspect was the most important thing. And sometimes here in the United States, I think that we can get it twisted, you know, that it's like, oh, well, you know, let's get them through this program and they're going to know everything. But it's really about the community.
Definitely. I think sometimes we get caught up in the pins and the investiture. And so the church, when they do get behind the Pathfinder Ministry, now they want to see results. But the most powerful part in the ministry is when a young person goes out to their counselor or their Pathfinder director and just says, hey, Eric, I would like to talk to you about something that's going on in my life. I think that's the job right there. Not actually getting them the pins, but being there for that young person.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that that's definitely something that we need to emphasize more. And, you know, if there are any youth leaders, youth directors, or area coordinators listening, I think that our point is mainly like Pathfinders can be effective, but it's only when we have that intentional relationship with people. And also, I mean, I will add, maybe you may disagree with me, but kind of put an emphasis on doing Pathfinder things or the things that we're trying to teach, the principles that we're trying to teach on a regular daily basis, and not only on Sunday or on Wednesday or Saturday afternoon when you meet. I think that I had an experience personally where I felt as if Pathfinders was on that day rather than, and same thing goes for Christianity or, you know, our Adventist faith, that we can just promulgate that. We can just, you know, profess our faith on Sabbath and then forget about it for the rest of the week. So I think that that can go for Pathfinders as well.
Yeah.
And any other issues that you have seen in Pathfinders throughout, you know, or that you see Pathfinders clubs struggling at this moment to keep young people engaged?
Yeah, what I find is usually there's one to two or maybe three dedicated leaders at a club. And when they have a club of maybe 15, 20, 30 Pathfinders, they can get burned out very easily. And usually they reach out to the area coordinators, maybe even local other directors for help because they feel overutilized, exhausted, and stressed.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can see that. I mean, it's a lot of kids. That's a lot of energy, you know, and if you've probably been dealing with something that's kind of like a volunteer basis, mainly for the Pathfinder Club directors, yeah, definitely can be, it can be a big challenge. Now, let's kind of go into maybe another vein. Have you seen maybe in other churches something besides Pathfinders, like another church program, another different initiative that integrates some of the ideas of Pathfinders, but focuses maybe on a different spectrum of issues? Because the reality is Pathfinders is not for everybody. That's just what it is.
I've seen at a church where, actually my home church back in Clinton, Massachusetts, they have young people being trained to be elders, and they call it, they call the young person a church director, and they work with the elders to know what the elders do and learn that role in the church.
I like that. I mean, I think it's maybe empowering, you know, empowering the youth to not just be Pathfinders or, you know, go to this program or do this thing, but also giving them some ideas or some leadership roles starting now. I mean, I have a vision, you know, and this is one of the reasons why we wanted to start this podcast, is was to give a voice, you know, to young people and, well, anyone for that matter, but especially young adults. Sometimes I think that young people feel, or any young adult, or, you know, kids even, they feel like they need to do something huge, something super relevant to be featured in their context or to be given the leadership role. And I think that, as you're sharing, Pathfinders can solve a certain section of that, but more intentional mentorship and empowering of the youth in that way that your church does it, I think that's very good, because it helps us see that, no, they're not the leaders of tomorrow, they're the leaders of today. And that way they can get a voice and a vote in the different matters of the church and get involved. That's good. Well, you know, we've been hashing out some things. Do you want to add anything when it comes to maybe the perspective or the landscape of how can we make Pathfinders more engaging? What have you seen that works, you know, besides like the mentorship aspect, or, like, you know, integrating maybe some more long-term commitments, or maybe some other different ideas that you have seen? What have you seen in the space that really works?
Well, what I've been doing and I find very effective is basically bringing the fun back into Pathfinder ministry. It's a very serious program, but I found I've reached more Pathfinders and young people when I didn't take myself too seriously. I used to wear a campaign hat with my master guide uniform. It's like a drill instructor hat. And when I wore that, a lot of Pathfinders stayed away from me. They were afraid. But then I bought this metal shiny helmet, and I look funny in it, but the kids started calling me Metalhead, and they want to take pictures with me. They talk to me. They reach out to me. And I found that excitement is what the Pathfinder ministry needs. That excitement that they have for Oshkosh that's coming up next year, that excitement, if we could have that every year, every Pathfinder year for these young people, we could see amazing things happen. But of course, it's with mentorship, it's with parents being excited about the program, it's about those leaders having passion to do this.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I think maybe one thing that I have always seen at work, and, you know, that I think that it's very, very good for Pathfinders to do, is, like you said, just take more fun activities, you know, just meet for food, just have a movie night, like, you know, go out there and just do things with Pathfinders, you know, take them out to the mall, go and play some soccer, you know, do that. That's I think one thing that I remember dearly from my Pathfinder days, you know, that after Pathfinders, we just stayed like maybe an hour, 2-3 hours sometimes playing soccer. And it was really fun. You know, it was just being there and having camaraderie and community with my friends, you know, and I still talk to a couple of them. And from time to time, we just remember those good days where we used to go to camp, to camporees and everything. You mentioned Oshkosh. For those of you maybe wondering what's Oshkosh, that's where all the Pathfinders from, it's kind of like a world camporee, like, you know, people from all over, all countries and all nationalities. And, you know, they come and they have like a week of?
Yeah, it's almost a week. I think it's from Monday to Sunday.
Yeah, so it's like a week of just Pathfinder fun, drilling, marching. I think that I also want to add, you know, when it comes to Pathfinders, as you were saying, it's like bringing back the fun, because sometimes it can be to that extreme that it's like, do it right. If you don't do it right, you're going to fail. And if you fail, you're not going to be a good Christian. And I think that we need to teach our youth to be okay with failure, you know, and I think we have talked about that in a couple of podcasts so far, that the idea of failure is kind of hard for Adventists to grasp, you know, and I think we need to be okay with letting them fail and, you know, maybe reach out to them and their communities. Well, Eric, it's been very good to hash out this topic a little bit. We maybe have just touched the surface, but it's been really fun. Anything else that you want to say before we start closing out, before we give you the final word? Maybe something else that you have seen as an area coordinator?
Just having that passion for this ministry. I've met kids that I used to teach 5, 6, 8, 10 years ago. And what they tell me is, not that they remember how to do a left face or a right face or how to do a knot. What they remember is that I was intentional in caring for that young person. And that's what changed their life. So that's my final word on that.
Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a patron, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links to our merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.